Welcome to the third episode of Disease Dirt, a podcast that digs deep into the wonderful world of plant pathology. In the last episode, we learned about the central dogma of plant pathology, the disease triangle. We discussed the balance between host, pathogen, and environment in disease emergence. Today, we're going to focus on the relationship between the host and the pathogen. Think of a time when you were sick with the flu. It's likely that your body temperature increased, your lymph nodes swelled up, and produced extra white blood cells. These physiological changes were products of your immune system kicking on. Your body was working hard to defend itself from the pathogen causing disease. Now, it's likely that you've had the flu more than once. Even though your body has previously been able to identify and fight a virus, doesn't mean that you're immune to it for life. How is a pathogen able to dominate your immune system more than once? The idea of an evolutionary arms race between host and pathogen helps explain this. This phenomenon is the same in plant hosts as it is in animals. And now that I got you warmed up with the familiar example of human disease, let's switch it up and get to the good stuff, plant disease. The evolutionary arms race phenomenon is simple. It begins with a pathogen that is successful in causing disease. This pathogen probably has a whole toolbox of virulence factors that may include toxins and effectors, which is just a fancy word for molecules that attack the host plant. While pathogens can cause disease in many plants within a species, there will be a few lucky individual plants with genes that confer natural resistance to the pathogen. These plants will be naturally selected for, causing a slow evolutionary shift toward a population of plants with broad resistance against the pathogen. With time, there will likely be another strain of the pathogen that evolves to be able to cause disease in these resistant plants. And with more time, those plants will evolve again to be resistant against the pathogen. This arms race, driven by evolution of virulence and defense mechanisms, goes back and forth between the host success and the pathogen success. Plant pathologists have developed a concept model to describe the different stages of the evolutionary arms race. We call this the zigzag model. This model gets its name from the way that success zigzags back and forth between the pathogen and the host. Allow me to walk you through the stages of the zigzag model using the example of the bacterial pathogen that causes leaf spot on tomato, Pseudomonas syringae. The first stage of the zigzag model is called PAMP-triggered immunity. A PAMP is a pathogen-associated molecular pattern. In other words, it's a characteristic of a pathogen that can be detected easily by a plant. A common PAMP associated with bacteria is the protein that makes up the flagella, that little tail that helps bacteria move. When the tomato plant recognizes the PAMPs of the bacteria, it goes into defense mode, known as PAMP-triggered immunity. The second stage of the zigzag model is effector-triggered susceptibility. When the plant undergoes PAMP-triggered immunity, the pathogen has to get creative and think of other ways that it can infect the host. At this point, the pathogen will release effectors, or molecules that disrupt the plant's physiology, and therefore disrupt its ability to defend itself. Pathogens use varying methods to deliver effectors to the plant. Pseudomonas syringae uses something called a type 3 secretion system, which is basically a little syringe that shoots effectors into the plant cells. If the plant is disrupted by these effectors, we call this effector-triggered susceptibility. The plant can recover from effector-triggered susceptibility in the next stage of the zigzag model called effector-triggered immunity. Just like PAMP-triggered immunity, the plant evolves to detect the effectors and can begin to defend itself against them. Maybe the tomato plant is able to turn on a gene that allows it to detect bacterial effector molecules. At this point in the zigzag model, the amplitude of disease teeters back and forth, bouncing from effector-triggered susceptibility to effector-triggered immunity. At either end of the spectrum, there's a threshold for effective resistance in the host, and a threshold for something called the hypersensitive response induced by the pathogen. The hypersensitive response is kind of a buzzword in plant pathology. The hypersensitive response occurs when a plant recognizes a pathogen on its surface. It is hypersensitive because the plant undergoes programmed cell death in the area surrounding the pathogen infection in an attempt to limit the resources for the pathogen to survive. Essentially, the plant sacrifices a few of its cells in order to protect the rest of itself from infection. While the zigzag model represents the basics of the evolutionary arms race between plant and pathogen, plant pathologists turn to another model to explain situations in which host resistance or susceptibility will occur, the gene-for-gene model. Harold Henry Floer discovered and coined the gene-for-gene model while working on a rust disease of flax. If you haven't noticed yet, plant pathologists love boiling down complicated topics to basic models and concepts. The gene-for-gene model describes four basic scenarios of host and pathogen genetics that result in either disease resistance or disease susceptibility. The first scenario, and the only scenario in which resistance is conferred, is when the host plant has a gene that is able to recognize a particular effector that causes disease, and that effector of interest is present in the plant. If the plant can recognize the effector, then it will be able to defend itself. Susceptibility occurs in every other scenario. For example, maybe the plant doesn't have the correct gene to detect a pathogen that is present. We could go more in depth into the gene-for-gene model and its scenarios, but I just want you to take one thing away from the gene-for-gene model. It's necessary for both the plant hosts to have a gene that recognizes a particular pathogen effector and that particular pathogenic effector to actually be present for there to be resistance to disease. If either of these components are missing, then the host will be susceptible to disease. Thanks for listening to this episode of Disease Dirt. In the next episode, we will dig deep into pathogen lifestyles and disease cycles.